L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
A huge hour to start off a new week live right here on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. That includes Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. An hour to look back on four divisional round matchups and the divisional weekend in the National Football League postseason. The conference championship games that we have and the four teams still standing in the hunt for a Super Bowl championship. Everything we saw from our two games on Saturday, our doubleheader on Sunday, our reactions and takeaways to everything from the divisional round in the NFL playoffs. And Scott, before we go on this Monday, a preview and breakdown with maybe some best bets for a national championship game on this Monday night in Atlanta between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Again, a jam-packed hour here on FFC.
Yeah, kind of weird, Ben, in that, the conference, the NCAA championship game is kind of being overshadowed, right? I mean, do you talk NFL if you had to? Do you talk college football? I don't know why they don't do the college football championship game tomorrow or even Wednesday when there's nothing going on. But that said, great, four good games, right? As bad as the NFL games were supposedly last weekend, all four for different aspects, different kind of drama, were all terrific this past Saturday and Sunday. So we'll break it all down. One more disappointing with a big surprise with Washington and everything else. Yep. It should be a lot of fun over the next hour here.
A spoiler on Saturday night, the consistency of Kansas City to kick off the divisional round. And two games yesterday that came down to the closing minutes of the fourth and final quarter, which, Scott, is what we expected in the fourth and final game of divisional weekend. The marquee matchup on a Sunday night in Western New York between the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. Talking about that game all week long in the lead up to Sunday evening, we talked about the numbers, a 1.5 spread in favor of the Ravens on the road. By the time we got to kick last night, just 22 cents of difference on the money line and a total north of 50 at 51 and a hook. And Scott, we said, if the odds track, if the game follows the numbers, we are in for potentially a playoff game that will become an instant classic in NFL history. And it really did live up to that billing. Buffalo outlast Baltimore 27-25 because of a couple of critical mistakes we had not seen from the flock all year long. Two first half turnovers out of Lamar Jackson, a fumble from Mark Andrews in the fourth and final quarter. And Scott, after Baltimore scored a touchdown with 93 seconds remaining in regulation, they were down by two. They go for two, and Mark Andrews open at the pylon drops the football. Two-point conversion attempt, no good. Buffalo holds on to win in advance to the AFC Championship game once again.
Yeah, Jackie Smith 30 years later, right? Wide open in the end zone. That was going to be a touchdown. This obviously was the two-point conversion. The ball was thrown a little bit behind him. I mean, a little bit. You should still make that catch, but it wasn't like a perfect catch. And I will say, if you look at the replay, Ben, of that, Lamar like double pumps, and I think because of that, I don't know, because Mark Andrews, Mr. Class himself, didn't talk to the media last night after the game, but I'm guessing he's going to say, or at least privately anyway, that because of that double pump, he was getting closer to the sidelines and he got just a little distracted. Maybe that's why we made a miss. But, you know, ultimately, though, I will say this. If that makes you sleep better tonight, Baltimore fans, great. But just know, even if you would have gotten that, Buffalo would have had a minute and a half and at least two, if not three timeouts to get into field goal range. And, Ben, the way they were moving the football,
right,
they probably would have gotten field goal range. They really probably would have, but we'll never know, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point as well, Scott. That would not have been to win the game. There wasn't 3 seconds remaining. There was 1 minute and 33 seconds remaining. And yes, you would have had to give the football back to Buffalo, who would have had over a minute and a half and two timeouts. But we'll never know. And that's the tough part about how we examine NFL playoff games and the marks they leave on a career resume and what it means for a franchise. But Scott, for the game overall, again, just 22 cents of difference on the money line by the time we got to kick in Orchard Park. We expected it to be good. Buffalo wins outright as a short home dog, completing a perfect 10-0 season in Western New York. A total of 51.5 does barely trickle over. And Scott, a theme that was consistent throughout all four matchups during the divisional round, the team that actually outgained its opponent came up short when it came to the box score and that final score. The team that had the most yards, which the Ravens did, nearly by 140 more than Buffalo, had two less points when all was said and done. The Bills have won the AFC East now 5 consecutive seasons. In this 5-year span, last night was game number 18. As an underdog with Josh Allen, they have won outright in 9 of those 18 games. Josh Allen didn't do all that much through the air, Scott. Only had 20 rushing yards, but 2 key rushing scores in that opening half. And really, when you look back on the box score in the comparison between 2 QBs who are directly competing against one another, not just yesterday in Orchard Park, but to win the NFL MVP hardware this season, the biggest stat, Scott, will be the 2, not touchdowns thrown by Lamar Jackson, but turnovers. An interception in the opening half and a fumble that led to Von Miller taking it back and setting up some more points for the Bills in that first half. And then the Mark Andrews fumble, the turnovers, the costliest part, as you would expect, of any game and for the Ravens last night.
Yeah, and they really, Ben, had no answers afterwards. You know, you watching the Baltimore press conference was identical. I mean, just identical to watching the Detroit Lions press conference. You could lose games, but, you know, generally you give a reason, this, that, what have you. Both head coaches, they were just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I you know what? We made mistakes that we just don't make or didn't make in the regular season. You know, and the $64,000 question for Lamar, you know, you can live with that with Jared Goff in Detroit right now, but we've been down this road how many times now with Lamar? The question is, why doesn't he perform in the postseason like he does in the regular season? I mean, choke is the biggest hate word you could put on an athlete, right? But what else is there? I mean, it's one time okay, 2 times okay. He's been in the league 7 years now. He's played in 1 AFC championship game, Ben. 1. I mean, he's just too good to not have more success in the postseason. I don't, you know, it's hard to defend him. It really is.
It is. And Scott, there are some that would point at yesterday and say, well, he put the ball on Mark Andrews, who had an uncharacteristic drop. The interception in the opening half did not result in points. The fumble did result in a touchdown for Buffalo. You could point at Mark Andrews' fumble after a strike from Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter when Baltimore was moving the football incredibly effectively yesterday in those final 2 quarters against the Bills. You can try to give Lamar Jackson an excuse, but there is a really good chance that Lamar is about to win his 3rd NFL MVP award, to become the 7th player in NFL history to win at least 3 MVPs. And yet, Lamar Jackson has played in 1 AFC championship game, an overall postseason record now, Scott, of 3-5. And he has had plenty of opportunities in a favorable path when they've been to the postseason often. He was drafted with the final pick of the first round in 2018, became Baltimore's starter later on in that rookie campaign. So in those 7 years, the Ravens have made the postseason 6 times. Back in 2022, Lamar Jackson was injured, so it was Snoop Huntley. But in those 5 trips where Lamar has been the quarterback, Scott, they have won the division 4 times, which guarantees at least one home playoff game. They have had the number one overall seed in the AFC twice in those 5 playoff trips with a healthy Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And they have one AFC championship game appearance to show for it, and a home loss against Kansas City. Never a bid to the biggest game of them all in a Super Bowl. We'll talk more of our reaction to the Ravens coming up short in Buffalo. And of course, the Bills advancing to the AFC title game. That's all next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, as we were discussing right before the break, especially in critical playoff games, certainly in the divisional round, in sports, there is the joy of victory. There is the agony of defeat. If you win, you advance and still have a great opportunity to contend for a Lombardi Trophy. If you lose, you faltered on your biggest game of the year and your season comes to a close. It also leads to swift reactions. In Scott, in football, fair or unfair, we put team success solely on one position, not a left tackle, not a defensive end, not a safety. It is a quarterback. So when your team comes up short in the biggest moments, you also come up short. And Lamar Jackson now has a 3-5 playoff record. We mentioned it. The Ravens have made the postseason 6 of the 7 years Lamar Jackson has been in the NFL. He is more than likely going to win his 3rd NFL MVP award this season, and yet there is one AFC championship game berth to show for it. Scott, you can excuse it away. You can blame others. You can say whatever overwhelming factor went into it. But at the end of the day, the individual success is nice. You need the team success to back it up to be considered an all-timer. And that is where Lamar Jackson has left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, he might be better off, Ben, honestly, not winning the MVP, right? Because, you know, right now it's regular season here, postseason here. He wins an MVP. Now the regular season's going to go way up here. And after this, you know, yesterday, the postseason's going way down there. It you know, the separation is getting wider and wider. So he may secretly say, no, you know what? I don't need that MVP. I got 2 already. So, hey, let's not let John Harbaugh get off the hook here, Ben. This has just been a pet peeve of mine over the season. I brought it up with you and other shows I've done, and it came up again yesterday. It just, I don't get it. You know, when Derrick Henry rushes for 20 times or more, Baltimore is undefeated, 9-0. When he runs for 19 times or less carries, obviously, 4-6, Ben. 4-6. I don't get. I mean, that's as wide a gap as you could ever get. And yes, he only had 22, 23 yards first half. But second half, you know, that third quarter, they were running the ball down their throats. And in the last 2 drives, after they get back in the game and everything, he didn't touch the ball at all. I mean, it's crazy. I don't get in every big spot. They had first and goal for the 3-yard line. He ran 1 time, you know, and they passed or tried to pass twice. You know, the 2-point conversion try, they have Lamar throwing the football. When you have one of the best, if not the best running back in the NFL, and he's running on fire second half, they average 5.9 yards a carry running the football overall, and he just ignores Derrick Henry. I don't know what naked pictures Lamar Jackson has with John Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh, and I've said this the entire season, he keeps on reminding people this is Lamar Jackson's team, not Derrick Henry's. And we saw it again yesterday. And for the unteamed time, Lamar Jackson doesn't come through. I don't know how you ignore Derrick Henry basically the entire fourth quarter after they had such a great third quarter. I don't get it.
16 carries, 84 yards overall for the King, and a rushing touchdown. Scott, the Buffalo Bills did not score a touchdown in that second half, and yet we'll get back to an AFC championship game for the second time in the last 5 years. Buffalo won the turnover battle. Baltimore had 3. The Bills had none. That's been a story for Josh Allen and something he has incredibly cleaned up throughout this year. It will be the Bills visiting a very familiar setting where AFC Championship games have been held in the last 7 years in the National Football League. That is Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for a seventh consecutive year. All 7 years that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback in KC, the Chiefs will play in an AFC Championship game. And for the sixth time in this 7 year span, they will host said AFC title game inside Arrowhead. As the first game of four this weekend, Scott, the Chiefs beat the Texans 23-14. Now, depending on where you got that number throughout the week leading up to the divisional round, that safety with 11 seconds left where Chiefs punter Matt Araiza ran out of his end zone to basically run as much time off the clock as possible really could have hurt your bottom line. I will say, though, Scott, yeah, it might be a bad beat, but if you waited to lay 9.5 with KC when the line opened at 7.5 and was mostly 8.5 all week long, not a bad beat. You are a bad better. Regardless, the Chiefs win by 9. A total of 41.5 stays under. And again, all 7 years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback, the Chiefs will play in an AFC Championship game.
Yeah. You know, and listen, did they really need to do that, Ben? I mean, there's 15 seconds left and you're up 11, right? I mean, if you can't hold on to that lead punting, I get it. You don't want to have the punt be blocked, picked up for a touchdown, maybe an onside kick, you know, I mean, but that's what separates Andy Reid, right, from some of these other coaches that continue to make mistakes in the postseason. He's not going to take any chance. I don't care about the bettors. You know what? Take the stupid safety. We're going to punt with 11 seconds left under no pressure, and then really the game is over. That's what winning teams do in the postseason. They don't make mistakes. They overcompensate for, okay, we're not going to allow a mistake to be made. So it was tough between that one and the Philadelphia Eagle one, which landed on 6 as well because of a couple of missed extra points. I mean, the point spread boys in Vegas were on their game this weekend, that is for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Scott. No doubt about it. There was a lot of conversation, of course, around that game Saturday afternoon in Arrowhead that we will discuss coming up next. And Scott, a lot of teams, when you are as illustrious as the Chiefs are in playoff football, Patrick Mahomes now 16-3 in his postseason career as the Chiefs starting quarterback, that when you've been on this dynastic run, at first it's fun and it's like, wow, look how historic this franchise is. Look how historic this group of individuals are together. And then it gets a little bit annoying because it's rinse, wash, and repeat each and every year and leads to a lot of people hoping it doesn't happen anymore. If you're not living in the greater KC area, you're probably hoping the Chiefs do not get back to a Super Bowl or do not play once again in an AFC Championship game. And Scott, it can also allow for fans of others to think the Chiefs had some extra help looking at those in stripes on Saturday in KC. The Texans certainly thought that and said so after the game. We'll talk about our continued reaction from the divisional round next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, back into the AFC Championship game for a seventh season in a row. 6 of the 7, they are going to host said AFC title matchup. They were at home inside Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday afternoon, Scott, to kick off the four matchups we had during the divisional round. The Chiefs win 23-14. Closing number was a 9.5-point spread in favor of Kansas City, so technically the Texans do cover. Scott, there were a couple of instances with various hits on Patrick Mahomes that were questionable flags called against Houston early in the opening quarter. A bad roughing the passer call on Will Anderson Jr. of Houston that allowed the Chiefs to continue a drive to move down the field. It resulted in points for Kansas City. And after the Texans almost tied the game after a very lengthy, nearly 10.5-minute drive to start the third quarter, KC responded. It did not extend a drive, but it put the Chiefs in better position after an unnecessary roughness call on Houston's Henry Toa on a hit against Mahomes. Scott, that led to a lot of the social media conversation around the game in Kansas City, basically saying the Chiefs have the officiating in their pockets. And D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson for the Texans after the game, in so many words, Scott, when you read between the tea leaves, basically offered up the same suggestion. What was your reaction watching that first divisional round game between the Texans and Chiefs on Saturday?
Yeah, a few things here, Ben. Listen, this is nothing new. I don't know where fans have been. If they think all of a sudden, boy, the officials are helping out Kansas City. You could go through every single game this year almost where they got some call that allowed them to win, continue drives, do whatever the case may be. Cincinnati, the crazy pass interference penalty late in the game when it looked like it was going to be Bengals ball, they're going to win. So this is nothing new. Now, it's interesting. I'm pretty sure it was Walt Anderson, longtime official. He was on a show, yeah, and they showed a clip on Yahoo, Ben. And he said something that was like, wow, I did not know that. And I'm pretty good with the rules. He said, every rule except one, officials are told to make sure you know the rules set and it was an infraction. And if so, you call the penalty. Except one. There's one rule in which if you're an official and you're not sure, you side on the caution of throw the flag. And that's a late hit on a quarterback. And it was just like, so if it's borderline, all the other calls they're supposed to not call. If it's borderline against the quarterback, they're supposed to call it. And that's what those two calls were. I mean, listen, I've been yelling and screaming about this the whole time, but the one, the guy hit him in the head. I mean, and the other one, two, you know, defensive linemen collided. Yeah. They didn't necessarily hit Mahomes, but they did land on him as he was sliding. I mean, that letter of the law is a penalty. To me, it's never about whether it's actually a penalty, Ben. It's why are you calling it now versus other times you don't. You know, I always laugh when there's a holding penalty, right? And you know, eliminates a long run or pass, right? And then they go to the replay and they say, yep, the guy held him. It's like, yeah, but he held him on the nine other plays before that and it wasn't called. Why are you calling it now? It's not whether it was a penalty. Why now? And that's the question you should have is why does he get the call seemingly all the time? And we've seen bad calls on quarterbacks. If you watch the NFL, no matter who it is, these quarterbacks, you breathe on them, Ben. There's a penalty flag. But it just, it does seem like every big spot, man, they just seem to be helped out by the officials.
And, Scott, I don't think it's just a Chiefs thing. It's a thing of greatness at every other league. When you are a superstar, when you are a franchise that consistently wins and plays in those big games, you're going to have more attention. You're going to probably have more favorable calls. I will just say, although I do understand the fan fervor behind it and pointing it out for this specific game, it didn't cost the Houston Texans a chance to play in the AFC Championship game. You lost really by double digits because of that late safety. I guess you could say it was under 10. The refs did not mess up the opening kick that put Kansas City in perfect territory to start the scoring early, and that was only a field goal. The refs did not have Kyahmi Fairbairn miss two field goals, one being blocked and an extra point that would have tied the game and made things even feel drastically different early on in that second half when you did go on a lengthy touchdown drive to get it to within one. The referees were not your Swiss cheese offensive line all year that allowed your young quarterback C.J. Stroud to get sacked eight times. There were some interesting calls. You could even say some bad calls. The Chiefs still won that game and will once again play in the AFC Championship. Plenty more to come on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Scott, the AFC Championship game is as follows. The top two seeds in the AFC, once again, it's the Chiefs and the Bills. They met the last time Buffalo played in the AFC title game back in 2020. It was also in Arrowhead. The Chiefs won 38-24. Since the start of the 2020 season, the Chiefs and the Bills have played five regular season games. Buffalo has won four. The Chiefs and the Bills have played in the postseason three times. KC has won all three. It's just a 1.5 spread in favor of Kansas City for Sunday night in KC. Scott, what do you expect for the Chiefs and the Bills facing off for a fourth time in the last five NFL postseasons?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, Ben, to have Buffalo go from the hunter to the hunty. In that, you know, remember they lost, and they lost badly against Baltimore in the regular season. So they had that little extra chip, little extra whatever you want to call it on their shoulder, right? But now it's reversed. Now it's the rare, rare time where Kansas City can actually say they're the hunter versus the huntie because they lost to Buffalo, and they lost badly to Buffalo. So, and I think they have this little thing about the officials with this game against Houston that Kansas City could kind of continue to preach, all right, it's us against the world. You don't get that too many times when you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you got Mahomes and Kelce and everything else. But they have that little extra thing. So, but throw that all out the window if you want. It's still Kansas City. It's Kansas City at home. You know, there's a saying that I live by for the most part. You know, winners bet with streaks, losers bet against streaks. Until Buffalo shows that they can beat Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, I'm not playing him. Same thing we, you know, we saw with Baltimore. Until Lamar Jackson proves he can get into a Super Bowl, you can't really bet on him. So show it to me, and I'll buy it. I think Kansas City, you know, listen, they didn't play great on Saturday, Ben, but they haven't played great all year. You know, I had people say, well, you know, they didn't look good. They were beatable. But yeah, but they've been saying that every single game this year. They look bad and they were beatable, but they didn't. So I'm thinking Kansas City is going to win the game. Close game, you know. I don't know if it's going to be a great, great, great game, you know, like we've seen with these two teams in the postseason. Yeah. But in the end, I think Kansas City finds a way to win.
The Bills were able to exercise one playoff demon with their victory over the Ravens last night. They had been bounced in the divisional round three consecutive years, so were able to get back to the AFC championship game. But now can they exercise the demon that is appearing in a Super Bowl once again and having to go through their playoff nemesis, the Kansas City Chiefs? The Bills beat the Chiefs in Buffalo week number 11, 30-21. They were a home favorite of 2.5 points. Very different story, as Scott alluded to, in the postseason. And you're right, Scott. Been the conversation around KC these last 2 years. Well, this dynasty run has to come to a close. They're not playing good football. Offensively, they're broken. They're not blowing teams out. And yet you still see Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and heck, even Travis Kelce pulling off more historic playoff performances, leading the Chiefs at the end of the day to a victory and hosting an AFC championship game for a sixth time in the last 7 years. So it's one versus two in the AFC. How about the other conference championship game? And the one seed in the NFC, Scott, for the first time in franchise history on Saturday night, that was the Detroit Lions. The Lions hoping to get to a place that no Detroit team had ever been, that a Super Bowl. They had never even played in a Super Bowl, let alone won a Lombardi Trophy. But entering divisional round weekend, they were the favorites to win Super Bowl 59. How a historic season can come to a close rather quickly, because it is Jaden Daniels and the Commanders defying the odds once again. Washington pulls off the true shocker of the weekend and plays spoiler, winning outright as an 8.5-point road underdog on Saturday in Detroit, 45-31. A very lofty total of 55.5. Skies over, and Jaden Daniels, Scott, continues a historic and record-setting rookie season for Washington.
Amazing. Amazing, Ben. Out of all the games, you know, that's, you know, without, you know, it's pretty obvious, but that's obviously the surprise. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't think Detroit was going to the Super Bowl. I didn't think they were going to win. I've said that, you know, many times with you. Dan Campbell was going to come into play. He did a little bit, not over the top. It's not like he went for two when they were down one or anything goofy like that, but that option pass late third quarter, but when you're down 10, your season's on the line, and you're throwing an option pass. I mean, come on. Like, this is what we talked about with him. He doesn't know when it's right to do things and wrong. And just to say afterwards, as he did, well, that's just us. That's what we do. That's what the announcer said. I mean, yeah, but you haven't won. It's not like you got five Super Bowls and you could say, well, that's what we do. There's a reason why you guys haven't won on the big time level. You can't do calls like that. You just can't.
Yeah.
You know, you got Jared Goff. You need a touchdown. You're down two scores and you throw a goofy pass. Not only that, if one of the angles showed it, there were only two wide receivers going out in that pass pattern. One was way to the left, not even in the play. So in essence, there was one guy going out to pass against four defensive backs. You would have needed all four defensive backs to bite on that run play. I mean, you got to put two, three guys in that area and hope one of the defensive backs bites. This way, the one wide receiver is open. I mean, to think all four were going to go to the line of scrimmage and leave, you know, St. Brown, I believe it was, wide open. It wasn't a well-designed play. It just wasn't. So Aaron Glenn, I mean, man, they had no answer. No answer. I don't know if his stock has dropped. Maybe the Jets will take him because he was a former Jet player, obviously. But, man, as I'm watching Washington go up and down the field, I'm thinking this poor guy's chances of getting a head coaching job is going through the basement floor here because they were just awful on defense.
Yeah, Scott, so many significant injuries for the Lions defensively. We talked about it last week. I thought the most critical performance of any team, any unit throughout the entirety of the divisional round was Detroit's defense against the young Jaden Daniels and Washington's offense, not just to escape with a divisional round win, but could they truly be that Super Bowl favorite? Because they were getting gouged on the defensive side through most of the final month and a half of the regular season. Put together a great performance against the Vikings. Would they look like that? Or would the significant and key injuries be too much to overcome? And they certainly were. And then they lost numerous defensive backs, safety Brian Branch, Amik Robertson, who was great against Justin Jefferson in that finale throughout the game as well. But regardless, Scott, when you turn the football over five times and the other side doesn't turn it over once, you're not going to win many football games at any level, but certainly in the divisional round for a spot in a conference championship. Four total turnovers from Jared Goff, three INTs, and a fumble. In the play that Ben Johnson called, first and 10 near midfield at your own 46-yard line, when you were down by 10, and that's the time to call a weird trick play, wide receiver reverse pass from Jamison Williams. I think a couple of the Lions coordinators, Scott, that were the hottest commodities in the coaching carousel might have taken a shot or two, or at least a lot of questions to be answered. Those five total turnovers, Scott, for Detroit directly resulted in 21 points for the Commanders, including that pick six by Washington's Quan Martin near the end of the opening half. The Commanders, a historic season, and now to a historic spot. First NFC Championship game berth for this franchise in more than three decades for the first time since 1991's NFL season.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this is the time, Ben, where I suppose I said this last night, that we should remind New York Giant fans that as you watch Philadelphia Saquon Barkley versus Washington Jaden Daniels, you could have easily had both guys on your team. 2 years ago, the Giants, in their infinite wisdom, Ben, decided to win four of their last seven games. They were 2-8 at that point. One of the wins coming against Washington. They drop down. Washington gets the number two pick. They draft Jaden Daniels. And the Giants get, you know, Malik Nabers, you know, good, but not Jaden Daniels, obviously. And then, obviously, if they re-sign Saquon Barkley, you know, they could have had, as you watch these games play out, if you're a Giant fan, man, you just be sick to your stomach, really do.
More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
As we were discussing right before the break, plenty of NFC East implications for the NFC Championship game this upcoming weekend. The Commanders will play in that conference title game for the first time since 1991, led by a generational rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Scott, before we get to the other game on Sunday in Philadelphia, Just a few bits of historical context for what the Commanders QB is doing right now. Last week, he was the fifth ever rookie to win a road playoff game. He was the second ever quarterback in NFL playoff history to lead a road playoff win with his team not turning the football over and never punting. He was the first rookie ever to lead his team in a playoff game in both passing and rushing yards. And then Jaden Daniels added to that history on Saturday night in the Motor City. 242 passing yards in the opening half, the most ever by a rookie in a half in NFL playoff history. This guy has continued to defy the odds all year long. They got 8.5 points on Saturday night. Not enough. They won by 2 touchdowns. They are so much more in front of where even the most optimistic viewpoint of this Commanders team expected. Preseason win total 6.5, an underdog in both playoff games on the road, and outright victories in both.
Yeah. It'll be the fourth straight road game. And I know the trip from Philly to Washington to Philly's not far. I get that. But, man, four straight road games is not easy. But three isn't easy. And they were obviously able to overcome that. So he's been phenomenal. No two ways about it. You know, and you really break it down. I don't know if Washington is that good. But here they are in the NFC Championship game, you know. Yep. Also, he's got a chance to be the first rookie quarterback, Ben, to lead a team to the Super Bowl, which when I heard that, I was like, But I looked it up. You know, Roethlisberger was his second year. Marino was his second year. Flacco got to the AFC Championship game his first year. None of them has been able to actually get to the Super Bowl. So another little, you know, feather on the cap if he's able to do that. I mean, listen, they've beaten Philadelphia before, right? I mean, they had 5 turnovers themselves against Philadelphia to close out the season, and they were able, 2 weeks ago before the last game, and they were able to win. So it's certainly not impossible. And you look at Jalen Hurts, boy, I tell you what, I give him a lot of credit for playing that last quarter because clearly he was banged up. Yeah. They didn't even want to run the tush push when they got it down to the 1 yard line, which ended up costing people because they ended up getting a field goal on that drive. So, but if he's banged up, you look at the whole situation with Philadelphia. AJ Brown, 3 receptions, Ben, for 24 yards in 2 playoff games. Something is going on there, clearly, right? So I tell you, it wouldn't be shocking to me anymore if Washington was able to pull it off next week.
Yeah, that would certainly be the case. Scott, quickly on the Lions, Detroit, a 15-2 football team, becoming just the second ever team in NFL history to win 15 regular season games and not win a single one in the playoffs, joining the 2011 Green Bay Packers, a divisional mate. We saw 3 NFC North teams win 11 games this year, Scott. Get to the playoffs. None of those 3 teams from the NFC North even won a single playoff game. A disappointing season for Detroit, one they were hoping would be historic. So it's not 1-2 in the NFC title game. It's 2-6 in an all NFC East affair, as we have alluded to. The Eagles win at home, led by Saquon Barkley, 28-22 on a snowy Sunday in the city of brotherly love. Saquon Barkley, a historic effort on the ground, 26 carries, 205 yards. And Scott, in 2 games against the Rams this year, 4 rushing touchdowns for Barkley, all 4, at least 62 yards in length. It got a little bit stressful and nervy for Philadelphia in the final 2 minutes of regulation. But the defense does just enough to send Philadelphia, also behind the offensive effort of Saquon Barkley, to their second NFC championship game in the last 3 seasons.
Yeah. You know, it brings up a good point, Ben. Listen, they put 20-plus points on the board. They had a chance to win the game, the LA Rams. I get that. Both teams are playing in the same weather. I get that. But if you watch the game, you saw the Rams drop a number of passes because weather-related, right? And I don't know. It just brings up the point. Really, at 2025, the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar operation. Should we really be playing in frigid temperatures, snow on the ground, windy like that? I mean, I know both teams are playing in it, but that doesn't matter. It does still affect you, though. And at this level, you know, shouldn't we getting the best out of everybody, not like we're worried about what the weather's going to be like? I don't know. I thought that was very. I've preached about this for the longest time. If I'm the NFL, I'm not allowing any team to build a stadium that hasn't have at least a retractable dome. You know, just not, because it, you shouldn't play in conditions like that yesterday.
Yeah, it's difficult as well for LA to replicate any of that, right? The Eagles, it's not like they see it for 18 consecutive weeks, but if there was going to be cold and there was going to be some precipitation and snow, the Eagles are at least more accustomed to it. The Rams really can't do anything. But Scott, the Rams did find their offensive footing there in the final four and a half minutes after that 78-yard touchdown run from Saquon Barkley that seemed to know it would ice away the game. The Rams respond in less than 2 minutes, and then quickly, with just about 90 seconds left in regulation, the Rams were on the doorstep of Philly's red zone, first and 10 from the 21, third and two with an opportunity to at least move the sticks. And Jalen Carter, the sensational interior defensive lineman for Philadelphia in his second year, his second sack of Matthew Stafford in the game, makes it fourth and 11. Stafford looks to connect with Puka Nacua, unable to do so. Philadelphia holds on because of a couple of missed Jake Elliott extra points. The Rams do cover by the hook as a 6.5-point dog. Scott, three of the four games divisional round went over, including the snow game in Philadelphia, over 42.5.
Yeah. You know what's weird, Ben? Last week, if you watched the Eagle game, Saquon Barkley breaks free, and instead of going for the touchdown, he falls down, right? And he gets kind of criticized, like, why did you do that? You know, you had covered a spread, and the over would have hit, or whatever the case may be, right? So yesterday, he goes for the full touchdown. Well, you really could make the case, you know, he probably should have fell at like the 15, 20-yard line, because they're already up one score. Even if they kick a field goal, they're going to go up two scores, and they could have taken two more minutes off the clock. So
you never know. More FFC, our reactions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So just to tidy up the divisional round and what it will mean for conference championship weekend in the National Football League. Of course, plenty of previews and conversations coming your way on that throughout this week on Football Full Circle. The Eagles got a 5.5-point home favorite against the Commanders in the NFC Championship game. Total of 47.5. I think it is a fitting and fair spread for the third matchup between these two divisional foes this season. But again, as the Commanders have continued to win games on the road as an underdog, I certainly wouldn't put it past Washington, especially with the health of Jalen Hurts a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, that's for sure. Listen, my pre-Super Bowl prediction was Kansas City and Philadelphia, so I'm not going to jump off that bandwagon. But I tell you what, I wouldn't be laying 5.5 unless I get full assurance that Jalen Hurts is absolutely healthy and figure out what's going on with A.J. Brown, because I could see them losing and I could see them winning, but maybe not covering, right? 5.5, it's a pretty decent-sized number to be laying in an NFC Championship game. So I think we're going to get two competitive games. And it wouldn't shock me to see Buffalo versus – how about Buffalo versus Washington? Could the NFL world follow that? I suppose, right?
What a 90s recap rewind that would be for the National Football League. Not exactly expected to be snowy in Philadelphia this upcoming Sunday afternoon. Much balmier temperatures in the forecast as of this moment. Scott, that's Conference Championship Sunday. Before we get there – National Championship Monday in college football, the first ever title game in the first ever 12-team college football playoff. It's Ohio State and Notre Dame. The Buckeyes, an 8.5-point favorite tonight in Atlanta inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Total stands at 45.5. Scott, how are you seeing this national championship game tonight between the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, I'm going to go opposite, Ben. I can't find anybody that thinks Notre Dame is going to hang with Ohio State, even Irish fans, as I am. I mean, everyone just thinks Ohio State, the way they're playing, is going to steamroll them. But listen, let's a little memory refresher here. They played last year. Ohio State only won 17-14, and that was on a late, you know, touchdown. They played 2 years ago at Ohio State. Buckeyes did win by 11. But it was only 21-10. It's not like they blew the doors off Notre Dame. So talk about people now. It's like it's the greatest team in the world versus this under, over, whatever you want to call them, achiever in Notre Dame. I think it's going to be closer. I really do. I'd rather be on the side of the boys in Vegas. It's up to 9 in some circles. But for the most part, as I mentioned, it's been all Ohio State talk. And yet the line is staying 8.5, 9. A little hunch that Notre Dame hangs with them. I don't know if they win, Ben. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they do win, but I don't think they're going to get blown out like most people think.
Yeah, Scott, I think that's a really great way to break down the game. When you think about Notre Dame staying within margin, I do believe the Irish defense is good enough to do that. Ground game success and the rushing attack for Notre Dame offensively is going to be critical. So I believe Notre Dame can stay in the game. It will be a question on if Riley Leonard through the air can attack the nation's best scoring defense in Ohio State all season long. And Scott, that is the game many expect, a defensive struggle between two of the three best scoring defenses at the FBS level all season in CFB. Nobody outside of a team named Oregon has scored more than 17 points against Ohio State this year in 13 other games. Notre Dame's team total, 17.5. The Irish, though, as an underdog, as Scott alluded to, a push and a cover against Ohio State in the first 2 years under Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame closed as a slight underdog in the Orange Bowl against Penn State in that college football playoff semifinal. They won outright. They are 5-1-1 ATS as a dog with Freeman. They have won outright 4 times. But I think part of the reason, Scott, there's a lot of love for the Buckeyes is how impressive Ohio State has been in the college football playoff. A perfect 3-0 against the spread with an average margin of 19.7 points per game.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me, though, of Mike Tyson many moons ago, who says, yeah, all boxers have a plan until they get punched in the face. So Ohio State, you know what? They played well. They've beaten good teams. No two ways about it. But until you have somebody that stands up to you, every once in a while it's continue to roll. Yeah, that's really good. But you get some guy that stands up to you, like I think Notre Dame will, it'll be a whole different story.
Yeah, listen, I feel pretty good about this game. I've shared before on FFC and across Sports Grid. I have an Ohio State National Championship ticket from early October. I bet Notre Dame to win the CFP National Championship when the bracket was released. So I feel pretty good about this Monday. I do believe Notre Dame keeps it close and competitive. He is Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.